Today's shiur is Daf Pei Gimel, and we're going to begin on Daf Pei Beis on the days at the Mishnah. This Mishnah continues as the previous Mishnah in discussing halachas of Erev Tchumim. For as we have said, there is a difference between Erev Tchumim and Erev Chatzeres. Erev Chatzeres, if we put down the amount of two meals, it makes no difference how many people are using the Erev Chatzeres. In fact, the Mefarshim explain, it may be an advantage that you have many people sharing in the Erev Chatzeres, because that's the whole point of the Erev Chatzeres, is to merge all of us together. And how do we get all merged together? By having an Erev Chatzeres. However, in an Erev Tchumim, the halacha is very different. Erev Tchumim, the halacha is that everybody has to have their own meals, because that's the point of Erev Tchumim. We each have our own tchum. We each have our own boundary. The Bi'alocha, in fact, has a very interesting shaila. The Bi'alocha discusses, what's the halacha, as the Mishnah mentioned yesterday, one shliach could put down an Erev Tchumim for the whole city. And let's say you'll have a city of 100 residents. And from those 100 residents, you put down only enough food for 75 people. But on Shabbos, only 75 people relied on your Erev. So now the Shaila of the Bi'ar Loch asks as follows. If all 100 were to come use the Erev, you'd be in trouble. But you didn't have 100 people actually using the Erev. Only 75 used it, and for 75 people you had enough food. Is that still considered a valid Erev or not? The Shaila of the Bi'ar Loch asks. Our Mishnah will now begin to discuss how much food is considered food for an Erev Tchumim. And as the Rashba explains, generally, the way we measure it is by the amount that you eat. Everybody has a different measure of what they eat. Some people eat larger meals, some people eat smaller meals. In fact, Machzis HaShekel says that let's say a Chayil or a Zaken, an old person, a sick person, puts down food for an Erev that he's not allowed to eat, then he says it may not be a kosher Erev. Because you can't use for an Erev Tchumim, which is, the point is that where I put my food is where I live, something you can't eat. But our Mishnah is discussing a person who we can't determine what his meals are. The one example the Rashba gives is a person who eats very large meals. Do we say butler dietilates or call them? We don't consider him a regular person, regular average person that we should follow his shear. So now the Mishnah wants to know what is the standard shear. Kama shi'urai, what is the shear? Says the Mishnah, Mazon shtei sudas kalech v'echad, enough for two meals for every person. Mezoyin l'chayil v'loy l'shabbos, the amount he eats in a weekday meal, not on a Shabbos meal, div Rameya. Because Rameya says that weekday meals are smaller than Shabbos meals, and we follow the weekday meal. Rabbi Yehuda Omer l'shabbos v'loy l'chayil, we follow the Shabbos meal, not the weekday meals, because the Shabbos meals, according to Rabbi Yehuda, are smaller. So the Mefarshim, the Rishonim, the Achronim, all ask a fundamental question. Could you argue over a Metzius? Is the Shabbos meal smaller or bigger? Because as the next words of the Mishnah are, the Zevazem is Kavn Lahokal. They're both trying to be Makel, which is a smaller meal. So let's just see which is a smaller meal. So a few approaches are said. Rashi's approach is as follows. Remeir says that the meals on Shabbos are bigger, as the Gemara is going to explain in a moment. Rabbi Yehuda says, you eat more on Shabbos, but on Shabbos, you eat three meals. And during the week, in their times, they only ate two meals. So maybe as a sum total, they ate more on Shabbos, but each meal was actually smaller. In fact, there's a very interesting vart from Rabbi Yosef Engel. Rabbi Yosef Engel brings a proof from this Rashi that women are also mechuyev to eat shalosh shudas. He says like this, the Mishnah is saying here that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Shabbos meals are smaller, and that's why the Erev Tchumim meals are smaller. Why? Because in Shabbos you eat three meals. Now we know that halachas of Erev Tchumim are relevant for women as much as they are for men. But if women don't eat on Shabbos three meals, so then why are you saying the Shabbos meals are smaller than the weekday meals? It must be, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, that even women are supposed to eat shalosh shudas on Shabbos, and that's why their meals are smaller. Tiferes Yisrael has a very interesting approach. He says they're not really arguing. It really depends on what they eat. some people on Shabbos eat more bread, and some people on Shabbos eat less bread because they have more of the other type of food. It also depends, he says, if they're wealthy or poor. A poor person during the week may limit himself, he can't afford, so he eats smaller meals. On Shabbos, even a poor person tries to have Oynik Shabbos and he eats bigger meals. So it really depends on who you're looking at and what the situation is. So according to the Rabbi Yehuda, we don't have a set amount. What we have is that we look at the meals.
If the Erev Chuva is for Shabbos, should it be considered what I would eat ordinarily on Shabbos?
No, because it depends on a meal, because where my meal is where I am. It has nothing to do with Shabbos, it has to be where I am. Rabbi Yochanan ben Breukheimer, Bekik of Opinion, Medal Son Basel. So what we have to explain is that we have to do some calculation. The calculation we have to do is two types of calculation. One is to figure monetary values in their world, which they had a sella, which is a large coin, equal to four dinar. A dinar equals six mar, and a mar is equal to two punjin. So if you take 2 times 6 times 4 equals 48, so a punyan is a 48th of a ma. Is a 48th of a ma. Now, another is a 48th of a sella, I'm sorry. A punyan is a 48th of a sella. Another relationship is in volume. A saw is equal to 6 kav. A kav is equal to 4 roiva kavs, quarter kavs, 4 into 1, or another way of calling a roiva is a loig, and a loig or a roiva has in it 6 beyah. So we take, if we have a punyan, which is a 48th of a sella, a loaf purchased for a punyan, when 4 saw, which is 24 kav, or a sella, that loaf will have a volume of a half a kav. That's Rabbi Yochanan ben Breukheimer saying, that's the loaf we look at. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shtei yodos lekikar. According to Shimon, the quantity of bread we need is 2/3 of a loaf when there are 3 loaves to a kav. That means, according to Rav Shimon, the loaf is 1/3 of a kav. So that's going to be the difference. Rabbi Yochanan ben Breukheimer is going to say it's a half a kav, and he's going to say it's 1/3 of a kav. Chetya, half of this loaf that we just identified, lebeis hamanuga. So the way Tosfos explains it is as follows. The halacha is that if somebody walks into a house that has a negat tzaras, that was afflicted with tzaras, he is automatically tamei. If he remains there for a certain amount of time, even the clothing he wears becomes tamei. How much time do you have to be there? Chetzia, half the amount of time that it takes to eat this loaf of bread. The chatzi chetzia, half of that half, lefsoil asagviyah. Which means like this. This is what Tosfos explains as a din to Rabbanan. That if somebody drinks, or eats, rather, something which is tamei, midoraisa tamei food cannot make a person tamei. Chazal made a gzeira that if somebody eats or drinks tamei food, that he becomes tamei, that he's posel, it's not a very high level of tamei. All he needs to do is go to the mikveh and wait for Harav Shemesh, wait for the day to end, but he does become tamei. The reason Chazal made that Gzeira, we learned the Gemara actually in Masech the Shabbos, is because we didn't want people to be dealing with tamei food and tar food and tar trum at the same time. If you could eat tamei food and not, it wouldn't affect you, then you could do it at the exact same time. So that's why Chazal made this Gzeira. Says the Gemara, but Kama Mazon Shteis Sudas. The first two man, the Amram and the Mishnah, did not identify how much they're talking about. Amram Yehuda Merav, Tata Rifta Chraisa. Two loaves of bread that are eaten by the peasants. Rav Adar bar Havama, Tata Rifta, two loaves of bread that were eaten by Nahar Papaisa. What's the name of a place by the river? Amle Ravel Rav Yosef, Raider Ava, Avuch, your father, from the man, the Amram that we had in the Mishnah, commands Sfirle, who does he agree with? Sremeya Sfirle, he also like Rameya. Says the Gemara, no, Namikrev Sfirle, I also agree with Rameya. That we follow a weekday meal, not a Shabbos meal. Dik Rabbi Yehuda, if you're going to tell me we follow Rabbi Yehuda's meals, Kasha will have this problem. Hadi Amri Inshi, that's what people say. Raf Chalub Sima Shchiach. This is an old saying. There's always room for good food. Rafcha means room. Lipsima means something good. Shchiach there is. Since the Shabbos meals are tastier, are geschmacker, so people have room for it. And that's why, obviously, the Shabbos meals are bigger, like Reb Meir held, not like Reb Yehuda. In fact, there's an interesting Samsoifa. The Samsoifa says like this. Many people say the parashas Hamon every day. What happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them that on Friday they should take a double portion. Then the pasuk says that there were people that went out, Yotzam Lulkait, they went out to collect Shabbos morning. Asked the Chassam Sofer, they collected double on Friday afternoon. What did they have to go Shabbos morning? They had Shabbos. So they said like this, since Friday night, the mon of Shabbos did not taste like the mon of all week long. It was geschmacker, like the Gemara just said. So on Friday night, they ate more mon than they normally do. So when they got up on Shabbos morning, they said that they don't have enough mon left because they ate up a bigger meal on Friday night. So that's the Friday night meals are geschmack. You eat more challah Friday night than you eat during the week. And that's why they went to collect, because they were afraid they didn't have enough. Rav Yechman Breikheimer. So Rav Yechman Breikheimer said that the shear is, like we said, the amount of a half a loaf. Tana was a braisa. That says that the shear Reb Yochanan Reb Breikheimer set forth in our Mishnah, and the shear Reb Shimon set forth, krovim d'vareim liyashavim, are very similar. Ask the Gemara, how could you say it? Mitami, are they similar? The Reb Yochanan, according to Reb Yochanan, again using the math that he used, abasudas l'kava, we could have four meals out of one kav. And according to Reb Shimon, teishasudas l'kava, you get nine. Is that the same? It's double. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, Seimen Shlish L'Chenvani. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you have to take out a third of the nine. We start with nine meals, a third. We have to take out a third for the amount that you give the baker. In other words, the grocery baker starts with dough, starts with flour. But he has to turn into dough, he has to turn into flour. And he has to turn into challah. And he deserves a profit. So if you take out that amount, that means if you take out one third of the one punyan payment that you gave for the grocer, that you gave the grocer, you take out one third of that punyan, so now you're only left with two thirds of a punyan. The size of a loaf brought from a grocer for a punyan therefore is no longer, as we learned in the Mishnah, a half. It's a half a calf, it's a third of a calf. Ask the Gemara, fine, you deducted it, still there's a significant gap. Because a Kati Lamar, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you'll have nine meals, and according to Rabbi Shimon, you'll have six meals. So it's still a gap. Says the Gemara, El Ki'idach Rav Chisda. You have to follow another ruling of Rav Chisda. Damit Seimehem Machtzel L'Chemini. You have to divide it by half. He has a larger profit. So if you're going to deduct it by half, so now you're down that he has one quarter of a calf, and a meal is one eighth of a calf, and he has it as one ninth. It's not that significant. Ask the Gemara, Kati Lama Teish Lama Tamni. To one it's one ninth, and one it's one eighth. Says the Gemara, Hanin the Kamer Kroiv the Ramli Yeshavim. From one ninth to one eighth, it's not that significant of a difference. But ask the Gemara, Kashter of Chizda of Chizda. First of Chizda says that the profit margin is a third. Then he says the profit margin is a half. Says the Gemara, like Kasha. It matters if the person who provides the baker with the flour is also giving him the wood which to use as fuel. If you give him the wood, so he has less expense, so then he only takes a third as a profit. If he needs to provide the wood, then he only has a half for profit, then he needs to take a larger profit margin because he has more expenses. We learned chetzio. Half of the loaf that we identified in the Mishnah was used l'bayis hamenuga. That we explain when you go into a house that has tzaras. For chetzi chetzi l'psolos agviya, that if a person eats it, he becomes tamei. Tana, we learned in a braisa. For chetzi chetzi, half of the half, l'tamei tumas oichlin. That's the amount, that's the minimum quantity that makes other food tamei. That means, although we said that midaraisa of food can't make a person tamei, food could certainly make other food tamei. So now the Gemara says that how much food will make other food tamei? Half of a half of a half. Now let's do the calculation here. According to Rabbi Yochanan, a loaf is six beya. If a loaf is six beya, half of that is three. half of that is 1.5, and half of that is 3/4 of a beah. A quarter of Shimon, a loaf is 8 beah, half of that is 4 beah, half of that is 2 beah, and half of that is 1 beah, which is actually what Tosfos points out, and all the Rishonim to make the same point. We know from our travels throughout Shas that the amount of food that gives off tumah generally is 1 beah, and that's where we get the 1 beah from. Tana, so again, v'chatzi chatzi l'tamah tumas oichlin. Ask the Gemara, v'tana the don, my tamah l'tana tumas oichlin. Just like our Tana started with the loaves, and then said, first the loaf teaches us a halacha for Erevin, and then it teaches us a halacha for Bayis and Menuga, etc. Why didn't it also mention this halacha? What is the amount of food that gives off tumas oichlin? Answer the Gemara, Mishum d'loshav shiur l'hadodi. Because everything we learned in the Mishnah followed a progression. We start with a loaf, and then we divide that loaf. And then we divide the loaf further. When we start talking about Tumas Eichlin, it's not exactly in proportion, as the Gemara is going to explain. The Tanya, Kamashir Chatzi Pras. What is the amount of a half a pras, which is the minimum amount which makes the body possible? The last thing that we learned in Mishnah, somebody eats that amount, he becomes tamei. If he eats that much of tamei food, that he has to go to the mikveh, he's posel. Shtei beyim chotakimah. It's the amount of 2 beyim, a little less. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi Omer, shtei beyim shaychikais. We use the shear of 2 beyim, which is half. That's how we got to Rabbi Yehuda, but it's a larger. Shear Rabbi, shtei beyim va'oid. Rabbi said it's all 2 beyim, just you add a little much. How much? Kam va'oid, ech va'esmer beyim, a 20th. You have to add on a 20th. But the numbers were very consistent. It was 2. However, v'ilu gabe tumas oichlum tanya, regarding tumas oichlum we learned, Rav Nosson Rav Doishan Amru, kebeyish Amru, it's not just the beyim, because the beyim that we've been speaking about is a beyim. It's a form of standard beyim that doesn't include its shell. The beyah that we're going to use, that we just said at the beginning of this Amid, gives off Tumas Eichlin. It's a little more than a beyah, because you also have to add the klipas, the shell around it. And the Chazanish says that the klip, not the Chazanish, the Rabbi says that the klip of a beyah equals a third of the size of the beyah. That's what he says. So now we're off, because till now we were talking straight. We start with 8 beyah, we divide it by 2 is 4, we divide it by 2 is 2. That's how we got. Here, we can't just say that we have 2 beyah, and we divide it by 2, we'll have 1. Because it's not going to be exactly 1. It's going to be 1 plus the amount that its shell takes up, which I'm saying, according to Eli Rab, is actually a third. The Chamaimru, Kamar Balaiki Pasai. You don't figure the shell. So since it's not a straight division, the Mishnah didn't mention it. The Gemara mentions another shear regarding what is a half pras. Amar Rav from Bar Papa, Amar Rav Chizda, Zu Divrei Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yosi. We spoke before that when we speak about a chatzi pras, it's 2 beyim, and we said, what is the 2 beyim? Is it a little less than 2 beyim? Do we use shaychakos, which are large eggs? Av chacham raimrim, kebeyo mechza shaychakos, which is an egg and a half. Now let's think about that. Who would be the one that say would be 1.5? It wouldn't be Rav Shimon, it would be Rabbi Yehuda. Because let's again start with the math. Rabbi Yehuda started with 6. Half is 3. Half of 3, which we said is the amount, chatzi chatzia, is 1.5. So that's what the Gemara says. Or ma chachamim, who are the chachamim? It's Rabbi Yochim Abreika, that have 6 eggs per loaf. That's who these chachamim are. Ask the Gemara Pshit, it's obvious. What's Rav from my papa teaching us? Once we begin the Mishnah, the Mishnah taught us that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there are 6 beyim, that there are 6 beyim in a loaf. Figuring chatzi chetzia being 1.5 is the simplest arithmetic. Answers the Gemara. Answers the Gemara. Shaykh Kais Eslashminen. What he wants to teach us is that we should use the large eggs, not the small eggs. That's what he's trying to teach us. Says the Gemara, Ka'asa Rav Dimi Omar. When Rav Dimi came, he said, Shiga bunyas l'Rebbe. Bunya sent to Rebbe, Mudya the Kundus. Kundus is a saw, which was the min nuka, full of nuka. That was a type of a vegetable. The Shia Rebbe, and Rebbe made a configuration, the Marsan Vashiv Esrabayan, that there were 217 eggs, bayim, in this saw. Now let's do some math. We have to do a two words of introduction to this next piece of Gemara. We began the Shia to tell us that every saw is six calf, a calf is four loig, and a loig has six eggs. Again, six calf per saw, four loig per calf, six bayim per loig. So doing simple math, we go 6 times 4 is 24, times 6 equal 144. Okay? So there are 144 bayim in a saw. What happened was, over the years, something that we've seen, there's what's called a devaluation, where they made the saw bigger. Now it's very important to note that as they made the saw bigger, that doesn't mean that they changed the ratio. The 6-4-6 ratio that I just introduced, 6 calf to a saw, 4 loig to a calf, 6 bayim to a calf, to a loig, that stayed. They just made everything bigger. By how much did they make it bigger? They made it bigger by 20%. They made it bigger by 20%. Now, we also have to introduce another terminology. It's a terminology that we'll use a lot when we learn kachshim. When you enlarge something, again, in our math, if I say I have 100 pounds, and I said I took 20%, I enlarged it by 20%, that means I have 120. That's called mulgav. The 20% is taken from the 100. There's another concept called milbar, that you don't look at the 20% as part of the 100, you look at the 20% after you add it to the 100. So if you take 20% of 100, you have 20, it's the same. You add it to the 100, you have 120. How much is the 20 of the 120? It's not a fifth, it's a sixth. Because 20 of 100 is 20 is a fifth. 20 of 120 is a sixth. They used the milbar method of calculation. In our world, we generally use the milgav, but the Gemara is going to use that. So now, we start with a saw having 144 eggs in it. Yet here, we have that he told them that how many eggs were in the saw? 217. So the question is, how do you get from 144 to 217? Hasa the hecha. Which type of saw are we discussing? Either midbaris, the first type of saw that they had was called the midbar saw. So as we just explained, mei v'arbam v'arba, 24 times 6 times 4 times 6. Vidi Yerushalmus, if we're going to take the Yerushalmus and we'll add 20% to 144, now it's very important that the Gemara doesn't like to work with fractions. So, eliminating the fractions, you'll have Mei Vishim Mishloisha, you'll have 173, which still is not 217. And even if you take the 173 and you add another 20% to talk about the next evaluation, which was called the Tzipiris, read the Tzipiris, Masayim V'Sheva Havin, you're still only up to 207. So now, how do we get to 217? Answer the Gemara, L'Olam the Tzipiris. We're talking about the Tzipiris, which is 207. However, Aisi Chalta Shadi Layu. We just spoke the other day that when you have a dough, you have to give challah. So what they sent in the measure wasn't just the amount of flour and dough that I'll be able to have that I can enjoy. They also included the amount that I have to separate off to give to the kohen for challah. Says the Gemara, if you take 207 and you take a 1/24th and add it on top of the 207, chalsa kamahavin, you'll have tamni, 8. So kati batzalu, you're still short, because 207 plus 8 is only equal to 215, and we need 217. Says the Gemara, el aisi v'oidus the Rebbe shadilayu. What you have to take is that we said that Rebbe said on every egg they added 1/20th. That's what we went on top of the Amid. The Rebbe took a 1/20th to every egg. So you take 1/20th and you add it to the 2/7, you'll have the 217. Ask the Gemara, now we already have too much, because you'll actually have a little more than 217. Says the Gemara, if you take in that amount, you'll have more than 217. Says the Gemara, kiven de lo have the beya, since that 217, it's going to be 217 and a fraction, since it's not a whole egg, lechashiv lo, and that's how they got to 217. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, and now the Gemara discusses what we just said, how they constantly devalued the saw. Saw Yerushalmis, Yisera al Midbar Yishtus. The Yerushalmis, which was the 20% edition of the saw, is a sixth larger than the Midbaris. Why is it a sixth? Because, like I explained before, it's after you take into consideration the amount you add. We would have called it a fifth. Milgav Umilbar. Vishalti Pyrus, Yisera al Yerushalmis. Then they added again 20% when they went from the Yerushalmis to the Tzipiris. The Mefarshim explained what's the significance of these places, Yerushalmis, Tzipiris, that these numbers could only be changed by Sanhedrin. So first the Sanhedrin was in the Midbar, that was the first seat of the Sanhedrin. Then they were in the Yerushalayim, and then they were in Tzipiri. They had the ability and the authority to change the numbers. Vishatziparis Yisera al Yishamishtos. Nimtzis, now we're going to have to do some more calculations. Nimtzis, Shatziparis Yisera al Midbaris, the difference between the Tzipari saw and the Midbaris saw is Shlish, is a third. Ask the Gemara, Shlish the man, where do you get a third? Elam is Shlish the Midbaris, you take a third of the Midbaris, Michti. Let's figure it out. We said that how big is the Midbaris? We said that the Midbaris is 144. What's a third of 144? Michti. Shlish to Midbaris, Kamahava, Abin Vitamnus, 48. A third of 144 is 48. The Ilu Oitfa, the difference between 144 and 207 is Shittim Vishlish, is 63. So how could you tell me that the difference is equal to a third? It's not true. The third is 48, and the difference is 63. Vela, maybe this is the way we'll do it. Shlish to Yerushalmis. We'll take a third of Yerushalmis. Let's figure it out. Shlish to Do, how much was the Yerushalmis? We said it's 173. Shlish to Do, Kamahava, what's a third of 173? Chamisha Vitamya, Nechi Tlaisa. It's 58 minus a third. 57 and 2/3. Vila Oitfa, and again, what the problem is, a third is 57 and 2/3, and the difference, as we just said a moment ago, between 144 and 207 is Shittim Vishlish, 63. So that won't work. Vela Tzipiri. Let's take a third of the Tzipiri. Why do we say the third of it? What do we say Tzipiri is? We said that Tzipiri has 207 bayim. Shlish Tida, how much is a third of 207? That's easier math. Shivin, it's 70. Nachichada, minus 1. It's 69. Now we already have too much. Vila Aitfa, we said the difference between the Tzipiris and the Midbaris is Shittim Vitlas, it's 63. So now it's really too much. Before we had too little, now we have too much. Ella, so how are we going to understand the statement that the Rabbanan made? If we take a soft tzipira, yisera al midbaris, more than the midbaris. Karv l'shlishalah. It's more. It's close to being a third. Why is it close to being a third? Because the difference is 63, and a third of the tzipayrin is 69. That's not exact. But now v'shlishalah, a third of itself. What's a third of itself? 69 is karv l'mechts l'midbaris. Is close to half of a midbaris. So that's what the Brisa meant. Now, how much is half of a midbaris? 72. Because 144 divided by 2 equals 72. So 69 is close to 72. Maskula Rivina, Midi Karf Karf Tani. Do we say it's close? We said it's the same. And 69 is not 72. Elam Ravina Hakkama. Nimtza Shlishal Tzipayrin. If you take a third of the tzipayri, which is how much? 69. The Oidish Rebbe, and the extra part, because we also have to add the 1/20th that we learned on the top of the Amid, Rebbe added to all eggs. So if we take that 69, and we also add the 1/20th, which Rebbe gave us, that'll give us a total of 72 and a fraction. And that's what he says, you say nimtz shlish tzipayra for other shreb, you say a mechzo shomit baris shlish peya. The difference that will be if you take 69 and then you add all the 1/20ths the Rebbe told us to add to the eggs, you'll end up with 72 and a three and a third. If you take a half of 144, it'll be 72. Since I said at the beginning of this shir that the Chachamim weren't busy with fractions, so that's how you have the exact same number. Tana Rabbanan. One more math gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Reishis Aros Tesechim. The Torah Akdosha tells us that we have to give challah from our dough. So says the Braisa, Kedei Asesechim. The amount that you have to separate for challah, the Pasuk says Aris Tesechim, your dough, teaches us how large the dough has to be. The kama seichem, how large does the dough have to be that you mechuyev to take off challah from it? Kedei isis hamidbar. The amount, the size of the dough the Jews had when they were in the midbar. Kama isis hamidbar. How big was that? Says the Gemara, the ksiv. The pasuk says that the man was a oimer asiras ha'efahi. The man was a tenth of an efah. Now again, we have to familiarize ourselves with certain measures that they had. The Torah speaks about a measure called the Eifa. Another way the Torah calls this measurement, it's called a bas. The size of a bas is 1/10 of a kor. And a kor has 30 saw. That means an Eifa, which is equal to a bas, is equal to 30 saw. Now we take the Torah says that how big was the mon? It was a tenth of an ephah. Now we have to do some more math. Familiarize ourselves. We said before that every saw has 6 calf. Every calf has 4 roiva or 4 loig, and every roiva or loig has in it 6 bayim. So now, if we say that a seerus eifa is 3 saw, if 3 saw is 18 calf, which is equal to 72 roiva, because every calf has in it 4 roiva, so 18 times 4 equals 72, and it also has 432 beya, because what we have to do is 72 times 6. 72 times 6 equals 432. Now we're saying that how much did they use in the midbar? A tenth. That's how big an eifah is. That's how big 3 saw are. An eifah is 10% of that. So how much will that be? It'll be, if we measure it in roivas or in loigs, it'll be 77 and a fifth. That's 10% of 72. 7.2. That's the amount of dough that you need to have to take challah from it. Mikan Amru, and that's what we just did the calculation. Shiver Vaim Kemach Va'oid, 7.2 Roiva, or 7.2 Loig, because we said a Roiva and a Loig are the same. That's the amount that Chayavis Bechala, because that was the size, Arisai Seichem, that was the size of the dough in the Midbar. Shehein, now, if we have to take it into consideration what we spoke about already twice today, the devaluation, that we have to say that the Yerushalmius was devalued 20%. So if you take 7.2 and you devalue it by 20%, you'll have Shishish or Yerushalmius. And if you take that and you devalue that again by 20%, you'll have Chamishish or Tzipari, 5 or Tzipari. That's the amount of dough you have to be Mechuyiv in Chala. Mekan Amru, it says the Gemara, since this was the amount that a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us to eat in the Midbar, ha'oichel k'mida zu, somebody eats this size, ha'rezu bari, u'mevarech, he's healthy and will be blessed, as the Jews in the Midbar were. Yes, al-kain, if he eats more than that, rafsin, he's considered a person that just eats too much, there's no need to eat too much. HaKadosh Baruch Hu already in the Midbar showed us how much to eat. Pachs mekan, and if he eats less than that, mekelkebe meyov. It means that he has a stomach problem. Why can't he eat as much as HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to eat? Says the Mishnah. We go now to Eruv Chatzeres. Says the Mishnah. And we look at diagram 274 on page 92. Anche Chatzer v'anche Mepesis. You have here people living in a Chatzer on the bottom. And you have people living on top on the balcony. Sheshachu v'lo yirvu. So the way Rashi explains is like this: the people on the merpeses made an eruv that they should be able to carry amongst themselves. The people on the chotzer made an eruv amongst themselves, but the people on top, they did not make an eruv between each other. Sheshachu v'lo yirvu. They didn't make an eruv between themselves. There's a beautiful vart from last week's parasha. The parasha says, the Mefarshim ask on Rashi, the way Rashi explains the Mishnah, why does it say Sheshachachu? Who said they forgot? Maybe they never intended to make an error between themselves. So it says like this: Rashi is explaining that they were making an error. The people on the Mepesus made an error. The people in the Chotzer made an error. They just didn't make an error together. So the Mefarshim explained that the word Shikha is appropriate on something that you once knew and you forgot. That's what shikha means, forget. You never knew about it, you can't forget. The pasuk says, "V'leizocha shar maskim es Yosef, v'yishkachehu." What does that mean? He once knew, and then he forgot. If he never knew Yosef, he couldn't have forgotten him. That's what Rashi says Peshat in the Mishnah. They were making Erevin. The people on the Merpesus made an Erev. The people in the Chatzim made an Erev. And they was going to make an Erev between themselves, but they forgot. So now, the issue that the Mishnah and the Gemara is going to speak at length about in Mitzvah Shem is that you have items here in the Chatzar. Since they can't carry between each other, the question is, these items are attributed to whom? Anshim Chatzar v'anshim v'perashah shechav v'la'irvu. Kol shegvayi yutfachim, any item that you find in the Chatzar, which is 10 tfachim tall, limerpesis. And you have diagrams here in the picture. Pachs mikan, if it's smaller than that. So the explanation of this whole Gemara is like this. And we had this Gemara the other day. Now Gemara is actually going to refer to it. When you have an item and you want to attribute it to a certain area, to which area do you attribute it to? You attribute it to the area to which it has easier access. So when you have here an Amud, which is 10 tefachim tall, so we say it's more accessible, it's easier for the people on the Mepesus to use it than for the people on the Chatzar to use it. So we say we give it to the Chatzar. On the other hand, if it's shorter, it's easier for the people on the Chatzar to use it than for the people on the Mepesus to use it. And we're going to say that they get it and not the people on the Mepesus.
How high is the
Mepesus? The Mepesus is about 10 tefachim high. We assume the Mepesus
can be higher.
Actually, we're going to speak about a lot of that. But we're assuming for this mission the Mepesus is about 10 tefachim high. It's from the ground to the top of the Mepesus is 10 tefachim. Kashuk v'ayu tefachim Mepesus, pachs mikan, if it's shorter, l'chotzer. Chulis above Asela, which we also have here, a diagram, that you have a pit, and it has the embankment around the pit. Gvoya Asar Tfachim, if they're 10 Tfachim high, Limer Pesis. Then, again, follow the same reasoning. Since it's that tall, we say it has more access to the people on the Mepesis. Now, the Evan Oizer says an interesting point. He says, when you look at a pit and the embankment around it, yes, the embankment around it has more access to the Mepesis. But the area in the pit is not that accessible to the Mepesis. So why does the pit go to the people on the Mepesis? So he explains that the pit becomes subordinate to the embankment around it. And since I'm attributing the embankment to the Mepesis, I will also attribute the pit to the Mepesis. The Medvar Mamurim, Pachs Mikan, if it's shorter, if the pit is shorter than that, again, we'll say Lechotzer. The Medvar Mamurim, when do I say these halachas that this Amud or this embankment I attribute to the Mepesis if it's 10 Tfachim tall? That's when it's Musmucha, when it's at least close. Av Muflegis, if it's further away from the Mepesis, afilu gvoy yutfachim, even though it has the necessary height, but since it's moved away from the Mepesis, lechotzer. Vezesmucha, what's considered close to Mepesis? What's considered far from the Mepesis? Kosher eni rechoyk avetfachim. It's less than dal tfachim away from the Mepesis, and it has the necessary height, then I consider it close to the Mepesis, otherwise I don't. Now the Ritva, and really Rashi speaks about it in the Gemara also, makes a very interesting observation. He says, all of the discussion that we're having here is when this Amud, or this Bar V'chuyosoi, are also Dalat Tfachim wide. But let's say this Amud is going to be less than Dalat Tfachim wide, then it's a Makom Ptur, because we learned all over that if something is narrower than Dalat Tfachim, it has the din like Makom Ptur, and then it's considered accessible equal to both, because it doesn't have the necessary, and both could take it. It's a very relevant halacha. I'll tell you where it's halacha relevant. Let's say somebody has clothing on the clothing line, from people who still maybe saw that, have a clothesline in the backyard. Now, a clothesline is not Dalat Tfachim wide. So I'm not going to go into the shaila if wet clothing is muksa. Many paiskim say that if you know your clothing is going to get dry on Shabbos, even though if an erev Shabbos it's still wet, it's not muksa. The question is, can you bring it into your home? Since it's less than dalat fachim wide, you could schlep it in from your backyard into your house. Says the Gemara, pshita, lezeva pesach lezeva pesach. If we both have equal access to an area, hayne chalon shebein chatzeres. We spoke about a window between two chatzeres that are equally distant from both chatzeres. We spoke about it the other day on daf ayin vav. And the halach is that if they didn't make an area of these two chatzeres, neither can carry from the chalon to their chatzer. Lezeb is rika, lezeb is rika. If to get, in other words, this is diagram two, the previous one of diagram 275, where it was less than 10 tfachim for both chetzeris. This is where it's above 10 tfachim, picture 276. So both of us to get to the top need to throw, because we don't have easy access, either one of them. The halacha is, hainu kosher lebein beis chetzeris, which we learned on the Mishnah Daf Ayin Ches. The Mishnah says if you have a wall that's too tall, neither of us could take things and put them on the wall or take it from the top of the wall. We could only work on top of the wall. This is diagram 277. That it's slow, and to use it we have to lower down. It's similar to when you had a ditch between two chatzeres. Again, equal distance. And it's us. And both of us can't use it because it's equidistant. Stop here.